Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
They are a confusing crowd, are they not? These millennials and Gen Z, millennials, all these people. Basically, we're talking people under 40. And most of us, most of you, me, most of us are kind of, we're Gen X and boomers, okay? And I'm going to define all these things again because most people, we kind of get so used to hearing all this. We got the boomers and the Gen X and the millennials and the Gen Z. And what are they? I'm going to take you through those terms. Okay. We're live on the radio. Welcome back to the show. This is Steve Noble, your somewhat humble host. And I want to go through this because there was some, the Harris poll did a thing exclusive for Axios, A-X-I-O-S, Axios, is a website. And they like to claim that they're, you know, objective. Reality is we know nobody's objective, but Axios does a pretty good job with presenting information, and certainly on this one, when they're just presenting some conclusions, but mostly just information about these millennials and the Gen Z and what they think, what they agree with, where are they at politically. And my question for you is, and I want to open up the phones the whole show, and I've got other stories to go to if you don't want to play along, but I hope you will. So my question for you is, why do you think the millennials and Gen Z generation, why do you think they're so left in their many of their political views? Whereas, and it's kind of a mixed bag, because whereas they're very left on things like socialism, social programs, free healthcare for everybody, single payer system, free college tuition, public colleges, and all of that, but yet the under 40 crowd is actually more pro-life in many ways than the older crowd above them. So a real mixed bag here with these millennials. For example, government should provide universal health care. 73% of millennials and Gen Z agree with that. Government should provide tuition-free college. They're talking about state college, okay, not private college. Not yet. Government should provide tuition-free college. 67% say, amen. I would prefer living in a socialist country. 49.6% of them said, yep, that's me. Support abolishing ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, 43%. But yet, high earnings are a result of free enterprise. What's free enterprise? Free enterprise is the free market. What's the free market? Oh, that's right, capitalism. So on one hand, the Gen Z people and the millennials are much more comfortable, or at least as comfortable with capitalism or with socialism as they are with capitalism. Yet when you ask them, hey, high earnings are the result of what? Free enterprise? 67% of them go, yeah. And the government should allow private insurance. Almost 79% of them say, yeah, they should. Yet on the other hand, they want single payer free health care for everybody. So a real mixed bag, right? And so how do you explain what's going on here? Now, for some people, like my beautiful bride is on Facebook Live right now, and if you'd like to join us there, just go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook, and you can jump right here into the studio with me. And remember, not all of you hear the show live. Most of you do, but not all of you. So if you hear it tape delayed, like you're down in Jacksonville, Florida, for example, or out in Hawaii, and you hear it at a different time, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time is when we're live, so you can jump on Facebook Live, the Steve Noble Show on Facebook. So she asked that question, has it changed from when we were college age? Maybe we would have said the same things. And I know my views have changed. That's what Gina, my wife, said on Facebook Live. And that's a great point. Sometimes we go, what's the old quote? I can't remember which president it's attributed to. It gets moved around a lot. If you're 18 and not a liberal, you don't have a heart. And if you're 30 and not a conservative, you don't have a brain. So do people generally get more conservative with age? Absolutely they do. No question about it. And whether they say that in their politics or not, they certainly live it, as life tends to create in you a conservative lifestyle. I have to take care of myself. I have to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I have to get a job. I have to work. I have to pay my bills. I shouldn't spend more than I make. And when I do, sooner or later, I'm going to have to cut back. I'm going to have to make some changes. You become more conservative, less liberal in your politics. And how you live, not necessarily in what you say. So on one hand, do we go, well, this is just young people? Because I say this often. Hey, listen, even millennials will grow up. They will get older. They will learn. However, millennials right now, just let me take you through these definitions, and then I'm going to open up the phones. Why do you think millennials are so far to the left in so many ways and so comfortable with socialism, the idea of socialism? And I've got some comments on that as well. But why do you think? How did they end up this way? That's my question for you. Who do you blame? How did this happen with millennials? 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884. Just fielding calls. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to debate with you. I might ask a clarifying question. But mostly, I just want to know, why do you think this has happened? I think we're all aware that the millennials, people under 40, I mean, the idea that they're okay with socialism, I think to Gina's point on Facebook Live, if we go back to 1984 when I was a senior in high school, wow, that's pathetic. Back to 1984, senior in high school, Ronald Reagan's the president. Are we okay with socialism? I think most of us would have said, I don't even know what socialism is. But now, they're like, yeah. And like I said in that one, I would prefer living in a socialist country. 49.6, almost half of millennials said, yeah, I would. That's crazy, isn't it? Totally crazy. Makes no sense. How do they get there? Who do you blame? 866-348-7884 is the number, or 866-34-TRUTH. And I've got, if you want to chime in on Facebook Live, I'll get to your comments and share your comments on the air as well. So that's the big question today. How did the millennials get so left? How did they become so comfortable with the idea of socialism? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And by the way, just a reminder, okay, some education here. Boomers, if 55 and over. As of this year, at some point, you're 55 and over, you're a boomer, okay? It's 76 million of you in America. Gen X, that's me, I'm at the top end of it. You're 40 to 54 years of age. 40 to 54 years of age this year, 82 million of us. I'm a boomer, I'm 53. Millennials, 25 to 39. 25 to 39. So they're the under 40 crowd, post-grad, most of them. And you know, the jokes would be many of them are probably living at home still. But millennials, 25 years of age to 39 years of age, there's 73 million of them in the country today. And then Gen Z, that's basically everybody under 24, 74 million. So Gen Z, 24 and under, basically college and high school. Millennials, 25 to 39, post-grad, figuring it out, young families. Gen X, that's me, 40 to 54 years of age this year. And then the boomers, which is probably actually most of you, 55 plus this year. So all these millennials and these Gen Z people, good with universal health care, good with free college tuition. They would actually, half of them would prefer living in a socialist country. How did they get this way? 866-34-TRUTH. This is Steve Noble. We'll take your calls and comments right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble talking about this enigma, this mystery that we call the millennial generation and Gen Z. Millennials this year will be between the ages of 25 and 39. Gen Z beneath them, they're basically 24 and under. Okay, so our current crop of high school students, college students, and people under 40, those are millennials and Gen Z. And they have very different views than we do. For example, if you ask them about the word socialism, 51% of them have a positive reaction to the word socialism, while at the same time, 58% of them have a positive reaction to the word capitalism. So it's oil and water, but they both have a positive, half of them have a positive reaction to both words, which is a little bizarre, isn't it? Definitely. And then you've got them, government should provide universal health care, 73%. Government should provide tuition-free college, 67%. Prefer living in a socialist country, about 50% of them said, yeah. Support abolishing ICE, 43%. But higher earnings are the result of free enterprise, which is free market, which is capitalism. 67% say, yeah, if you want to make more money, you need to be in a capitalist society. Yet, they want all these socialist programs. Social programs, which I think a lot of people are now defining as socialism. I think what they really are is just big government liberals. Now they've given it a term that you can rally around. Thank you to Bernie Sanders, who is more of a traditional socialist. But I think most of them are ignorant and don't nearly know what socialism is. Socialism, democratic socialism, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is big government liberalism. That's just given it a new name because it's sexy and sounds more out there because I'm willing to say I'm a socialist. See what the point is? Why do you think they're like this? How do they get this way? Who do you blame? Let's start on the phones. Let's jump over to Isaac in South Carolina. We lost Isaac, so let's go to John, who's calling in from Tucson, Arizona. John, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go ahead. Hey, John, are you there? I'm going to put John on hold. If you could check them back in the studio, I'm going to go to Pat, who's calling in right here in my backyard in Raleigh, North Carolina. Pat, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm 67, so I'm a baby boomer, and my kids fall, one, just over what you would call Gen X or, you know, the younger. And I think a lot of it has to do with the way they were raised. My generation wanted to give their kids everything that they didn't have growing up, so they expect everything to be given to them.
So we spoiled them.
Yeah, we spoiled them. And now my kids all had to have jobs. If they wanted a car, they had to help pay for the car. They had to pay for their insurance. And even at my age, I'm 67, a lot of my friends thought my husband and I were horrible because we made our kids work for stuff. And now you can be on your parents' insurance till you're 26. Why in the world wouldn't you expect the government to take over after that?
Right, exactly.
You know. So I think a lot of it is our fault.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Pat, thanks so much for listening, and thanks for calling in today. Those are great points. And did we spoil them? Yeah. And how many of us have helped our kids do their homework basically by doing their homework for them? How many of us have helped our kids with their projects? I mean, you see some kids in first and second and third grade projects they bring in, and this whole thing built, it's elaborate, looked like Van Gogh put it together or Frank Lloyd Wright. And you're like, whoa, look at that. And the parents did 99% of it. Your kid watched and put some glue on there. Good job, Johnny. Good job, Cindy. Wonderful. So, yeah, definitely some of it, a significant portion goes to us, the parents of these millennials and Gen Z. And again, millennial and Gen Z, basically everybody under 40. My oldest, our oldest of four kids, is 23. So he's right at the bottom end of the millennials, the top end of the Gen Z. And he's got some interesting principles as well. He's got much more of a mixed bag than his mom or I. Yet he's a believer in Christ. He's conservative in the way he lives his life. He believes in a lot of conservative things. But it's much more nuanced than us. And he had to work when he was young, but we provided a lot for our kids and probably were too easy on him. And so you certainly get some of that. But is that it? What else? Where else would you place the blame for where these millennials are right now? And hey, if they're 35, they're thinking on their own. Don't own all of it as a parent, okay? Let's go to Dan, who's calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Dan, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. Well, I just want to join in, especially part of the millennial crowd, and kind of speak on that a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Number one, as a Christian, I kind of listen to your show. I like a lot of your conversation, but the feel of this of trying to kind of pit generations against each other, I'm not sure is really the best take on this. But, you know, if we want to kind of do the blame game back and forth, we go, all right, well, what generation has kind of been in power and got us into a $20 trillion deficit, et cetera? And we go, okay, you know, let's lay all the cards out here, Steve.
Yeah,
you
know, man.
Okay, if we look at all the governments of the world, ones that would be considered a little bit more democratic socialist, not complete socialist because they've been capitalist free market economies, let's just, you know, clear that up right now, they actually per capita spend less. So we're not talking about free healthcare or free college. We're actually just talking about paying a little bit more in taxes rather than per capita. We come out of our own wallets for more money. So again, I'm not sure you're really framing that debate very well and being fair to both sides.
Yeah, and I think that's I appreciate you saying that, Dan. And the point today is not to pit one side against the other. It's just to try to, from the older perspective, and older, I'm saying at this point, we're talking Gen X's, we're talking 50 and up, who are baffled by the younger generation's ease with the word socialism. I'd say that's the number one issue, the ease of the word socialism. So actually, I've been out meeting with college students and some people under 30 since January, trying to work on a new podcast to engage these issues and talk to, in a productive way, the people of that generation. And I'm not trying to pit the sides. I'm just trying to say, how did our younger generation, that's why I opened the show and said, hey, listen, how many of us were much more liberal in our viewpoints when we were 18 versus when we're 38 or 48 or 58? So I'm not trying to pit the sides together. I'm just trying to ask the question, why is this younger generation way more liberal than our generation was when we were their age? Does that make sense?
No, I think that's a fair question. I think we just come from a bracket that might have been educated on how the rest of the world actually spends, and actually gets a better value for their dollar actually on healthcare. So again, it's not, you know, I understand like the government thing, and I believe me, I'm 100% on the same page of actually a socialist and why that would be morally wrong. But again, if we're going to pay more in taxes and actually get a government program that provides a better quality of life on healthcare, and again, that's completely debatable, but other countries do it, spend less money and get better results than we do, but go, well, there's got to be a better way than every single year healthcare companies making billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, I hear you. What? Hey, Dan, just real quick before I let you go, what other countries are you referring to?
Denmark, Norway, England, Canada. Let's pick one.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so yeah, there's an important distinction there, and a lot of people miss out on that, which I'll talk about. But thanks for calling in, Dan, and sharing that. I appreciate it. And when you look at Denmark, you look at Finland, look at Canada, and some people say those are socialist countries. No, they are not. They are not socialist governments. They have a lot of social programs, but they're not social governments. So when you look at Netherlands, Denmark, Canada, you look at how are all those social programs paid for? How are they paid for? They're paid for with tax dollars. Where do those tax dollars come from? They come from income. What generates the income? The free market economy, capitalism. That's what generates the income, okay? That's what we're trying to consider here is how did we have this younger generation? Again, 73%, they're good. The government should provide universal health care. 67%, the government should provide tuition-free college. 49%, almost half of them would prefer to live in a socialist country. You think half of them would actually want to live in Venezuela? Really an actual socialist country, socialism? No, they would not if they knew more about it. But yet, higher earnings are the result of free enterprise. And most of them, half of them, a little bit over, are okay with the word socialism, while at the same time being okay with capitalism. It's crazy. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. The Steve Noble Show. Going to get right back to your calls. Just interesting information here on Gen Z, millennials. So again, remember, millennials and Gen Z. Millennials, 25 to 39 years of age right now, and Gen Z is 24 and under. So basically, everybody under 40. That's the millennial and Gen Z. And here's some things about them. You ask them if they have a positive reaction to the word socialism. Well, in the 18 to 24 age bracket, so high school and college, 58% of them say, I have a positive reaction to the word socialism. At the same time, 61% of them say, I have a positive reaction to the word capitalism, too. That's massive ignorance, lack of understanding. This is oil and water. I really support a woman's right to do whatever she wants to with her body, including prostitution. But I'm against prostitution. You're like, hold on a second. You can't take two sides of the same issue, right? But that's what they do. 25 to 34 year olds, 51% of them have a positive reaction to the word socialism, while 58% of them have a positive reaction to the word capitalism. Gen Z and millennials, 67% of them, government should provide tuition-free college. Well, we're $22 trillion in debt, and if you killed all the poor, if you killed all the rich, and you killed all the big companies, and you killed the 400 richest people in America, and you took 100% of their stuff, we could barely pay for 1 year of government spending. They just don't know that. Most people don't know that. So there's massive ignorance. They have tons of information coming at them, but at a young age, especially 25 and under, they have very little discernment. And so I think that's why we see a real mixed bag of opinions. Some of that will go away with age, but we're still talking about people in their 30s up to 40 years of age who are over half of them are okay with the word socialism. So there's a huge disconnect. Why did that happen? What's going on there? Taking your calls on that. Let's jump over to Jacob, who's calling in from Iowa. Jacob, thanks for calling. Sorry to keep you on hold for so long. You still there? I lost Jacob, probably kept him on hold too long. Let's go to Elizabeth, who's calling in from Indianapolis. Elizabeth, thanks for calling in. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And I think it's just that they believe the beautiful lie. Is it easier to believe somebody else is going to always take care of me, or what God's word says, that if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat, or
right,
take care of the widows and the orphans,
right,
or a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. They
yep.
believe the lie. It's the same old lie from the beginning, Steve, and it will always be the same old lie from the beginning.
Do you think that? I don't know how old you are, Elizabeth. I'm 53.
I'm 65.
Okay, you're 65. So when we were in our 20s, do you think we were as left leaning as a lot of the kids today, people under 40 today?
Well, I know I was, because I didn't get saved until I was 27. And I bought all that garbage, and my parents taught it to me.
Yeah, and I think that's...
I bought into all that garbage and didn't change my mind in politics until someone showed me the truth in God's Word.
Yeah, and see, now that's a great point. Elizabeth, thanks so much for listening, and thanks for calling in. And that's a big point. Somebody showed Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you said somebody started to show me the truth in God's Word. And when you have a biblical worldview, you can start to then effectively work your way through all these other worldviews, socialism, capitalism, free marketplace enterprise, whether you should have the government involved in everything or not. A biblical worldview will help you through most of that. And because a government that gets bigger has more power, then sooner or later, nobody relies on themselves. They don't even look to God. They look to the government, which, of course, is exactly what Satan would like to have. But you talk to an unbeliever that way, and it's just a bunch of gibberish, and you sound like an idiot. So you got to be careful about that. But she brought up something that nobody's brought up yet. Elizabeth said she was taught. So what about the role of education? Do you think education has anything to do with this problem? And when we see so many of our young people being okay with the notion of socialism, I would contend that they don't really know what socialism is. They like social programs. Now it's hip and cool and rebellious and out there. And hey, I have the guts to say it. It's like shout my abortion. So I say I'm all for socialism. I think they don't really understand. Let's go to John, who's calling in from Tucson. Sorry about that earlier, John. Thanks so much for calling back. Go ahead.
Yeah, Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Your show's great. Thanks for having it. I think we need to have a lot more people listen to it. It'd be great, even if the younger generation. But I think it seems to be a combination of things that you hear a lot of the colleges are, you know, on the New World Order thing and all of the saying things to the students in the high rate. And they just seem to be uneducated and closed-minded, that they really don't want to listen to things. They're like, well, my life's fine. My parents are taking care of it. And they don't. I remember when Hillary was running, they went around and asked her what she really represents. And at the colleges, they went around and asked her, and they had no idea, but they were going to vote for her.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's part of, John, I think that's part of something that's been going on for 5,000 years, is that the younger generation kind of has a tendency to want to reject the older generation. That's part of that rebellious nature and part of our sin nature. But right. Yeah, and I think that the issue is, I don't know how old you are, John. I'm 53. When I was 20, when I was in college, I mean, I had a fair amount of information coming at me, but nothing compared to what is going on today. I mean, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, we didn't even have smartphones.
Right. You're exactly right. And I think it's mind pollution, really. A lot of it is stuff it's all part of a plan that you can follow if you've really, the last 8-10 years of this, it's a part that they're trying to get the mindset. I mean, I've heard that there's over 300 emails with. It was on one of the shows I was listening to that daily media goes out to, and you can see that the way some of this media has to be following this agenda that keeps polluting everything on TV and then through the internet. And it's just, and some just don't want to even listen. They're like, you know what? I'm in my college life. I don't really care, but I feel I try and say, you know, this is going to affect you and your kids someday. So you either want to, you know, like pay me now or pay me later. Right. Kind of deal.
Right, exactly.
But they just, I think it's really sad because that the politicians are buying into that uneducated ones. And I heard the administration beforehand was sending out texts and it really worked for Obama to get elected because they were just flooding things out, and Bernie's buying into that too. And
sure.
I mean, how can a guy that got exposed, that basically got, you know, pretty much hoodwinked and then said, you know what, we're going to have Hillary be, and then you turn around and then you take a payment on a house, and then you had a lake in Vermont, and then you go stand up on the stage, and now you're coming back and want to. I mean, that's like, come
right,
on.
Exactly.
And he doesn't comb his hair either, Steve.
Sure. Yeah. That's a good point there. That's a good point. Nobody likes to talk about that. But, John, thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
Thanks for calling back. I appreciate
it. Okay. You bet. Bye.
All right, man. Talk to you. And that's you got to remember there's flesh in here, too. So the flesh wants something for nothing. Right? Except when it comes to God, you know, you want to earn your way in. But the flesh wants something for nothing. So when you say, hey, we're going to give free college tuition, when the next bubble to burst is going to be the college tuition debt, college loan debt. That's the next bubble that's going to burst. And so, and then you get an entitlement thing because your parents took care of you and everybody's kowtowed to you and everybody gets on the team and everybody gets a participation trophy, right? And so all of a sudden somebody says, oh, sorry, it's not that easy. You can't earn it. We're not going to give it to you. You need to earn it. And people go, well, that's terrible. That's awful. I think the government owes us. And they may not think that clearly about it, that condemningly of their own position, but that's the reality. But I think we need to remember what Dan said earlier when he called in, who said he was a millennial, is that, hey, don't start by insulting us. I don't think millennials are stupid. I think they have a lot of information. They're consuming a lot of information, but when you're 20, 25, even 30 in today's world, you don't have a really effective filter to work through that. And you fold into that the educational system at both the middle school, the high school, and especially the college level, which is about 95% liberal. And this is going to sound all kind of kooky, but there's been a lot of programming going on, a lot of programming. And so they just kind of accept things wholeheartedly. You throw the flesh in there, the unwillingness to deny yourself, take the hard road. And so you want everything easy and everybody owes you everything, right? That's how we are in our flesh. So then it makes a lot of sense. Let's go to Norman, who's calling in from Florida. Norman, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm like about 35, and so I think I fall kind of in between these categories, so I might have some insight onto how to get the older generation to understand where the younger generation is coming.
Yes, we would appreciate that. Yeah, you're kind of right in the middle of the millennials crowd between 25 and 39, so thank you so much for calling, Norman. I'm all ears.
All right. Well, I was alive when Reagan was president, but I really wasn't, you know, old enough to really get anything. So I kind of fit into the younger camp that way. And I think that's relevant because anyone who's over 40 has some experience with historical socialism, whereas anybody who's younger than that really hasn't, or at least they weren't really paying attention, or they were too young you know, the Soviet Union was still around and a threat. And so I think this is important in two ways. One, the younger generation learns history and learns about socialism completely from academia, not from any personal experience, which means they hear it as they hear history portrayed as a struggle of oppressed peoples rising up against their oppressors. And so even when socialism goes awry historically, they still side with the oppressed over the oppressor and see the oppressed as on the right side of history. So they still see socialism as a good thing, even when it fails, because it's on the side of the oppressed. And then it's also, I think, important because when they don't have an historical exposure to socialism, their only exposure to socialism comes from when we conservatives call other policies socialist. And so like the term deplorable.
Well, Norman, I'm up against the break. Can I put you on hold? I know you're on hold for a while, but I really appreciate you calling. Can I put you on hold? Because I'm going to pull you back up after the break. All right. We'll be right back talking to Norman, a millennial from Florida. We'll be right back.
Searching for something, something never comes, never leads to nothing, nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close, closer to the prize at the end of the rope.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Appreciate you guys being here tackling a big subject today. What's going on with the millennials? And they have such a different perspective on government and politics than we do. We being people that pretty much are the older generation, us boomers, 55 and over. Okay, Gen X, that's me. I'm 53. So you got boomers are 55 and over. Gen X is 40 to 54. Millennials, the classic millennials, 39 years of age this year, down to 25. And then Gen Z is 24 and under. Okay, so millennials and Gen Z, basically everybody under the age of 40. And they have very different views on politics in the world than we do. And we're grateful that Norman, who's a millennial himself, I think you said you're 35, Norman, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So Norman's 35, calling in from Florida. By the way, how are you listening to the show? How'd you pick up on the show, Norman?
I found it on Facebook, actually.
Oh, excellent. Good. Well, I'm so glad that you called it, because I think you were on Facebook Live and then asked for the call-in number. So thanks for doing that.
Correct.
Okay. So you've got a crowd in 13 different states listening to you right now. Okay. So we're awesome. Tuned in, trying to get some wisdom from our millennial friend, Norman. So just keep going. And what do you think? I think you're making some great points that... Listen, I was in high school when Reagan was president, and so we know about socialism experientially. You have not experienced it that way. You've just been taught through the educational system higher and lower. It's a great point. Keep going.
Right. So I finished making the point about how I think young people are taught the history of socialism and not having experienced it firsthand. But the other point that I was trying to make and want to finish up right now was that the other way that the younger generation experiences the word socialism came from when we on the right would criticize the policies on the left and call those policies socialist. And so for millennials who never really experienced anything real called socialism, their first exposure to the term, if it wasn't in academia, often came from Republicans who used the word disparagingly to describe things like Social Security, Medicare, and other things that Reagan-era Republicans were wanting to make smaller or whatever else. And so for them, for the younger generation that's reacting against Reaganism, which is what I think they're doing, they accept the term as a badge of honor, kind of like Republicans did with the word deplorable when Hillary used it to describe us. They
Great
say,
point.
Oh, we're socialist? Okay, you keep calling us socialist? That's right, I am a socialist.
And yeah, because it represents that I'm against a lot of your old school policies.
Exactly right. I think it's mainly Reagan-era meritocracy. The idea that you just treat everybody as an individual rather than as a member of their racial group or whatever else that they're reacting against. They think that's still unfair somehow. And then they're willing to call that socialism because we've used the word socialism to disparagingly refer to anything that doesn't fall into that Reagan idea.
Right. So in terms of engaging this conversation with people your age, Norman, people under the age of 40, what have you found that's been effective?
Well, trying to explain that, like I blog and do those sorts of things and try to explain what the word socialism actually means to get, well, I think the older generation needs to understand this so that they can actually talk to millennials. Because if millennials say, I am a socialist, and you keep saying, no, 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 that's Venezuela, they'll keep saying, no, 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 it's not.
Right, and right, exactly.
We need to understand, the older generation needs to understand the younger one and say, what do they mean by socialism? They mean opposition to Reagan-era meritocracy. And so when I talk to them about what socialism is, I need to be able to at least speak that language.
Yeah, that's a great point. What's your what's the name of your blog? How do we get to your blog, Norman?
At thinkoutsidepolitics.com. That's where we do it.
Perfect. I'm writing it down right now. And I'll find you on there and reach out to you. I'd love to have you back on and continue this conversation.
Sure.
It's been super helpful.
Well, that would be great.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Thanks for calling in. All right.
Thank you.
To you later. You're welcome. Let's jump over to Rodney, who's calling in from Winston-Salem. Rodney, sorry to keep you waiting so long. Go ahead.
No, that's great, Steve. Really appreciate what you do, what all your callers do, and God bless you and all your callers, because
without
Thank them,
you.
We wouldn't have this great show. But
that's right.
I think everybody keeps hitting the nail on the head when you say ignorance, and everybody's talking about how we define our terms. We go back and define what socialism actually is, and everybody talks about a common core of what socialism is instead of just trying to use it as a buzzword to tag on to something you don't like about somebody else, to try to get somebody else to, defend themselves or put them in a bad position. It's watered down what socialism is. I agree with the last call of the millennial. That was very, very well articulated. So I think if we just get back to defining what socialism is and really understanding what it is, like Venezuela is the perfect example that you keep using.
Yeah, and I think that he made a great point. Norman made a great point that, hey, listen, all of us are kind of Reagan-era people. We've seen socialism, the actual system, the actual political system, and the havoc it has wreaked and the human suffering it has caused. But people under 40, that is not their experience. And so they hear socialism. They think socialist policies. They're actually thinking big government liberalism and helping people in general, which is they've rejected kind of our system. They've rejected the religious right. They've rejected the culture war. They see that as just kind of angry, white, evangelical patriarchy. And so then they just kind of, without knowing how loaded the word socialism is, they picked up on it. And part of it's the way to kind of throw water back in our face. Like Norman was saying, I think it's a great point.
Yes, there's a whole generation now growing up with different views, different things, and they want to do the right thing.
Yeah,
but they don't understand
that.
The unintended consequence.
Right, right.
And
yeah.
That's where we can't connect the two.
Yeah, and I think that's a challenge, and it's also a great opportunity. Rodney, thanks so much for calling and sharing. That was great. I appreciate it.
Bye.
And I think that's the opportunity, and Rodney, you brought that up. It's the opportunity where we have to go in and go, no, you know, socialism, that's Venezuela. Move to Venezuela then. And then you're done. The conversation is over. You're exactly what they expect you to be. And what I'm experiencing on college campuses, and God willing, we'll launch this podcast when I'm sitting down and talking to this generation in a small group setting for an hour and a half, about one issue at a time, maybe socialism obviously would be a great thing, is to stay in the conversation, and then you can winsomely and effectively bring in some time-tested truths. and have a conversation. But he says, socialism, do you realize it? Then move to Venezuela. You guys are so stupid. Me generation, snowflakes, blah, blah. And so we just insult him. So what? You're going to hang out with, they want to hang out with you? They want to listen to you? No, they totally dismiss us because we come at them like that. We have to come at them with patience and compassion, and you have to be willing to listen and ask that very difficult question for everybody to deal with, which is why. What do you mean by that? Why? Well, have you thought about, let's take this up. We're going to have government health care for everybody, and we're $22 trillion in debt. We're adding $1 trillion every year. This is going to cost how many trillions of dollars over the next 20 years? How would you propose that we pay for that? Okay, now we've got to put this stuff into actual process and practice. And then people start going, okay, all right, that's a good point. All right, now we're making progress, all right? There is no silver bullet here. It takes time and conversation and listening and sharing and mentoring, which we're not doing. We just kind of buy into the divide and make it worse by insulting them. Let's jump over to Julie, who's calling in from South Carolina. Julie, thanks for calling. Sorry to keep you on hold. Go ahead.
Oh.
Are you there? Well, I had her, and then I lost her. So, Keith, if you can check, see if Julie's still there. But this is really important. So, Rahm Emanuel talking about, listen, here's one of the things that's really interesting. Here's another article that was a part of that study with Axios. How Gen Z could change the GOP. So, Gen Z is 24 and under, okay? So, a suspicion of big government has been a defining theme of the Republican Party for decades, but a Pew Research Center survey found that more than half of the next generation of Republicans is open to using government action to solve problems. What? Because we go, what's conservatism? That's more individualism. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. A hand up, not a hand out. Liberalism says government's the answer. But more of them are saying, and they call themselves Republicans, but they say government needs to do more to help. It's an interesting little dichotomy there. Let's go back to Julie, who's calling in from South Carolina. Sorry about that, Julie. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love your show. I am, I just turned 40, late last year. And with that being said, a lot of my family, under 40, like my cousins, my siblings and whatnot. And when I talk to them and they've thrown around the word socialism, it's really interesting because they don't understand, this is my perspective, they don't understand why people would be opposed to, you know, free college tuition for everybody, free healthcare for everybody. I mean, you know, so I think when older generations say, no, we don't want to do that. That's not why. That doesn't make any sense. You know, I think they are like, well, why wouldn't we want to help one another?
Right.
And I think that's where they get turned off and they're just like, oh, you know, you guys have such an old way of thinking. You know, you're not progressive, you know, forward thinking people. You guys are like kind of stuck, you know, in the old time age, right? Or it just doesn't make any sense. In addition to that, you know, this is like really the first generation where they probably won't make as much money as their parents do, and they probably won't own a house. And that's really disheartening, I think, to a lot of them because they will have so much college debt, you know, right off the bat, right when they get out of college. And so I just think that when we don't want to help, when they see as the older generation not really wanting to help them, I think they get frustrated by that because when we were getting out of college, and I've been out of college like 17 years, you know, I was able to get a job and there was multiple jobs and have health insurance and, you know, they don't, and not have as much debt. You know, I mean, it's like tripled, right? What college
is now. Yep.
So I just think they just don't understand. And so
have you found anything, Julie, in your conversations with your peer group that's been effective? What's an effective way for you to engage them? What's worked?
I think just really being honest and saying, okay, if we just kind of like what you were saying, if we want health care for all, here's how would we pay for that? How is that reasonable? How is, you know, raising the minimum wage, how can we effectively do that? Because a lot of small businesses, they just can't do that. Like really looking at the numbers, and then I think they start to understand. The idea is great, and their heart is in the right place, but it's just not sometimes realistic. Yeah.
Great point. Julie, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that awesome call. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you later. A great point. We got to be willing to listen. I agree with Julie. With all the ones, I mean, I think a lot of them really care about people. They care about society. They want to see people taken care of. The question is, how do you do that and how do you pay for it? But we got to be in that conversation. But boy, we got to listen. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.